May God bless us all. We have heard a wonderful word, and I would like to follow up on this and then come back to Luke chapter 2. The thought came to me when we read the word that the Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And the other word that came to me was what no eye has seen and no ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. This God has prepared for those who love Him. And I had to draw the comparison between His reception here on earth and our reception there in glory. His reception here on earth was so low, so small, so simple, that it could not have been simpler. There was no room for him in the inn. A stable was for him, a manger. No special preparations, nothing. But what is waiting for us there in glory? When we realize that the Most High humbled Himself in such a way to exalt us who are nothing, and to grant us the privilege to enter the pearly gates into His glory, then we understand what the love of God means in fact and in truth for all of us, and what the Lord has prepared for us. Yes, to those who love Him. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, He had no room, and once He says it Himself later, the foxes have dens, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where He lays His head. And the prophet Isaiah writes in chapter 53 that he was shunned by men and had no form, no comeliness to be desired. But it pleased the Lord to atone for all our iniquities, to lay the shame upon Him, that we might be made worthy to be taken out of this veil of tears and lamentation, out of this misery, in order to be with the Lord for all time. That is grace. And the Savior said to His own, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in Me." And He says, "In My Father's house are many mansions, many, there's much room, room for all of us." Down here, there was no room for Him in the inn, but there are many mansions, much room, much space for all who come to Him and receive Him. For them, He has already prepared the place. Nothing was prepared for Him, but He has prepared everything for us. And that is grace. That is the privilege we have. I then wanted to read from Luke 2 on this. Luke chapter 2, the well-known story. We hardly had the opportunity to read this text We heard the word in the sermon of Brother Branham, but we want to read it again. Perhaps from verse 8, it is such a glorious event, the most glorious event that ever took place, namely that the Lord Jesus was revealed, yes, that he was born. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. First of all, up to here, this precious word of God. We know that the promises of the Holy Scriptures were revealed to those who believed in them, not to those who interpreted them, who spoke about them, but to those who believed them. And the advantage of these shepherds was that they did not need and did not have to listen to the interpretations, but that they could be there in silence with God and with themselves to receive, when the time came, this revelation. There are many people who say that it is enough for us to have the Word of God. We don't need revelation. It's enough if we have God's Word. Now, that sounds very fine. And even today, I heard on some discourse that a dear sister gave me that you don't need... Oh, I must be careful. In any case, the prophecies have been interpreted in something like that, as if all the prophecies that we have to hear are already in the Bible. Well, that would be very nice. And in terms of the plan of salvation, that is correct. But what God does is this. He reveals to His own, when the time comes, that the prophecies of the Scripture are being fulfilled. Whether it was the shepherds in the field, whether it was a Simon, whether it was a Hannah, or whoever it was and has been, it is not only the written word, but the same Spirit who inspired the word comes upon those who believe the word from the heart, and they receive the living revelation so that they can go and see what has happened. Every time God gave a revelation, the people did not sit still, but went to see what happened. The shepherds went, Simon went, Hannah went, where what the scripture had foretold actually happened. So, not just the promise in the Word of God, but the revelation upon those who believe the word of promise for their time. And that is actually what has become so great to us in this time. Anyone can preach about it. You can talk a lot about it. And yet, you don't need to see what God is doing unless the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us. How many were expecting the Messiah in those days? And Brother Branham expressed it so beautifully that the shepherds did not smell like a theologian at all. And when they suddenly came into the city and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we want to tell you what we have heard." Yes, the ladies and gentlemen would have told them something else. But what was it? The simplicity of God. God reveals Himself in simplicity. And that is to those who believe His word of promise, wherever they may be, whether at night with a flock or during the day at home, it makes no difference at all. To His own, the Lord reveals in the time of the fulfillment of His word that the time has come. And they went to see, and they found exactly as it was told them. The same has been with the people of God at all times. The Lord God has ever and always revealed Himself in a supernatural way and sent someone of His servants to bring the people of God the news of what God has done. They were always simple people, but they were people to whom God's Spirit could give the revelation by grace. People who did not have their own program, but the living revelation of God. And when it says here that an angel of the Lord was there and that He gave them this announcement and that the glory of the Lord shone around them. People who believed the word of promise, whether sooner or later, will come into contact with the angel of the Lord and will be surrounded by the glory of God. Now, you can take that as you will, but that is true. We were all sitting in darkness. Suddenly, a light came on. What was it? Did we move a switch somewhere that we would have made light? No, it became light at evening time. It became light at the time when God's word was fulfilled. And that is just the time when the children of God are surrounded by the glory of God. If we could see, which we cannot see, with our earthly eyes, then we would sometimes notice that something supernatural is happening without us even registering it. shall I tell you that by nature we are not even able to think properly about divine things, that even our thinking, that all our thoughts must first be seized under the obedience of God, under the obedience of the Word, and that it is the Lord alone who can give this enlightenment. The human heart always goes astray, even when we think we are walking on a straight path, and there are enough people who are spiritually convinced that they are walking on a straight path. But if it is a straight path, then it can only have been made straight because of the promise of the Word of God. Already for the first coming of Jesus Christ, it is written in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, "Make straight the ways of the Lord, pave a highway for our God." Unless the way of God's people be made straight and paved, it is crooked. Men have made it crooked by all their interpretations. But God sends the word of revelation to make the crooked straight again. And only when we walk on the path that has been made straight, is it a straight path. And on that path, even a fool cannot go astray. For thus it is written in Isaiah 35, "It will then be a paved way, a highway, a road of our God, and no unclean person will walk on it, but those who are redeemed by the Lord may walk on it." That is the precious thing, brothers and sisters. Let us remember what happened at the first coming of Christ in order to know what will happen at His second coming. That it is not for nothing that anything is preached here. We must say that the Lord sent His angel and announced what was destined for this time. And all of us who have heard this call and followed it have found that everything happened as it was told and communicated to us. We think of the pillar of fire, of the supernatural things that happened in our time. God is a supernatural God. He is not to be sought or found in the interpretations of the scribes, but in the revelation that He gives to His servants and to His people in due time. At that time, it was the shepherds. The Lord could speak to them. He could surround them with His glory. It literally says that an angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." This joy of the divine announcement of what was happening according to the plan of salvation of our God at that time, it was so powerful. And then it is concluded that suddenly there was with this angel the multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God with the words, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth in the people with whom God is well pleased. And who are these people? These are people who walk with God. For Enoch walked with God, and he had the testimony that God's well-pleasing was upon him. The people who walk with God, on them God's well-pleasing rests, because at the appointed time they hear the announcement of the word of prophecy and its fulfillment, and are surrounded by the glory of God. They go and find as it was said. These are people on whom God's well-pleasing rests. I can vividly imagine that the shepherds were outwardly regarded with little favor by the people. But we can be certain of this. God's well-pleasing rested on them. They were led by the Spirit of God to where the Scriptures were fulfilled. And then they offered homage to the Lord. And they said, maybe we read from verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Here we see that some were astonished, but Mary, in whom the promise was fulfilled, moved all these words that were spoken, all this that was reported in her heart. If we may apply this to this time, then there are many who were astonished at what happened. But only those who have been pardoned by God, only those in whom the promise is fulfilled, they move and keep in their hearts all the words that have been revealed in this time. The others may be amazed, they may wonder or even marvel, but Mary kept and pondered all these words in her heart. What was it? She was the one pardoned by God. Through her, the promise was fulfilled. In her whole body, the promise became truth for that time. She experienced it all. She was a part of what it was all about at that time. She not only wondered, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The same is with us at this time. We do not stand and hear from afar and be amazed, but in us the Scriptures are being fulfilled in this time. We are a part of the divine plan of salvation and its realization in this time, so that we too can keep and ponder on all the words that have been spoken. We are certain that wherever the promises of God are believed, the glory of God must come down. Something must happen. God cannot be silent about this. Faith moves the arm of God. Faith makes the power of God manifest in our lives. When we go through the whole plan of salvation, when we delve into it, we see the traces of divine revelation from the beginning. And who had the divine revelation? The blessed of God, who believed him. We can go all the way back to Abel. By faith, who preached to him? When it says there, by faith, he had faith. And through faith, it was revealed to him what he should do. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, God has his ways with his people. He is still speaking today. He still reveals today. He still comes today with his glory upon his own. And still today, we all keep and move these words in our hearts for the sake of having seen them fulfilled. It is not only a wonderment, but it is a worship in our hearts. Whether it was the prophets in the Old Testament, whether it was the apostles in the New Testament, all of them were led by the Spirit of God, heard the voice of the Lord, made known to the people of God what the Lord had commanded for certain times. These days, we have been exploring a little further the theme that we have already dealt with here for the radio program. And it is actually something so wonderful that God already in the Old Testament, and I didn't get the idea right away, that God already in the feasts that took place in the Old Testament already announced certain things in terms of the plan of salvation, or foreshadowed them as in a silhouette. In Leviticus 23, we find the feasts that the Lord ordered for the people of Israel. The Feast of Tabernacles is listed as the last of these feasts. I believe the first was the Passover. This was followed by the unleavened bread, then the sheaf of the first fruits, which had to be offered to the Lord, then Pentecost. So it went on and on, the great day of atonement, until it came to the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was the last of all the feasts. That was the final gathering, so to speak. The final feast, the feast of all feasts. And isn't it strange that palm branches were taken just for this feast? We spoke recently about the multitude of Revelation 7. We talked about that at the time of Jesus, when he entered Jerusalem, the people suddenly took palm branches. Here is the last feast in the classification of the biblical feasts in the Old Testament, which all have a meaning in the plan of salvation. He then says, here in Leviticus 23, it's probably verse 40, where the palms are listed. Yes, here it is. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees. If we follow this plan of salvation, what God ordered, neither was such a thing ordained at the Passover, nor at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not at the Day of Atonement, not at the Feast of Pentecost. Enough feasts passed, but at the last feast it was decreed, and they had to dwell in tabernacles. And if you want to read about it at home, the reason and so on, it has been given here. The Lord God has ordered everything in a wonderful way. And the only feast that the Jews celebrated after their return from Babylonian captivity was what? What feast did the Jews celebrate when they returned from Babylon? The Feast of Atonement? The Passover? No. The Feast of Tabernacles. And there too, the man of God gave the same instruction as Moses, the servant of the Lord. And they celebrated before the Lord. And it was a great joy. We can read about it here in Nehemiah. It's in Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah, chapter 8. Here it says, maybe I should read you from chapter 7, the last verse, because this also has a meaning. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. When the seventh month came, the Passover was in the first month. The Feast of Tabernacles was in the seventh month. And it says here, when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. And then the whole history is listed. Now I just want to read from verse 13. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth, and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness, maybe just up to here. We have said often enough that the Old Testament was not only written to give us something to read, but in terms of the plan of salvation, we see here everything we need for the course of the New Testament. Here, all those who had returned from captivity gathered to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles to the Lord. A reminder, and it's written here, from the days of Joshua. What was in the days of Joshua? In the time of Joshua, the promise of God came to fulfillment. The land which I swear unto thy fathers, I will give unto thee. And Joshua distributed the land according to the promise. And at that time there was a celebration, but since that time no more, until the people of Israel came back from the Babylonian captivity. The scribe here, this Ezra, he could have read from Moses, from the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth book of Moses. There are so many chapters. He could have read all kinds of things from it. He could have said to them, "Oh, listen, today we are going to read the creation report." Right? Or he could have said, "Today we are going to read about the flood." He could have told them many things, but he was not a scribe taught by men, but a scribe taught by God. And he knew, because of divine inspiration and revelation, what prophetic word to go back to in order to bring that to the people of God at that time. Is it not the same today? We could read from the whole Bible very, very much, couldn't we? But what is it about? The Spirit of God exhorts us to read out what was promised to the people of God for this time. And that is the glorious thing that we can experience with God. We don't need to celebrate a Feast of Tabernacles today. But one thing is certain. We need to prophetically orient ourselves after the return from the Babylonian captivity we were all in, as it happened then. And God made sure that a prophetic word was put upon the lampstand in our time. And with the same certainty with which these servants of God had returned at that time and ordered the divine things, with the same certainty we can go back to the promises of God and open the Holy Scriptures and read to the people of God what was given in prophecy in this time and what God has ordained for this time. Among the people, it says here, there was very great joy. They had returned to the land of promise. They remembered what God had done in the time of Moses and in the time of Joshua, and they clung to the God who is faithful, gracious, and merciful. And there was such great joy in their hearts at what happened then, that God had turned their fortunes and brought them back. For us in this time, it is a great joy. God has turned our fortunes. We do not read what we want to read or what people would like to hear, but we read what the servant of God was told to read by the Lord. Here it says that the children of Israel came and it was read to them from the law of the Lord, as Moses had commanded. May the Lord God grant us grace in this time. Who were they who brought the palms of victory? It was those on whom the promise was fulfilled in their time. Whether in the time of Moses, whether in the time of Joshua, whether in the time of Ezra, Nehemiah, and whoever they all were, whether at the time of the beginning of the new covenant, or now at the end, who are they who believe the promises of God? They have the grace and may know what God is doing in their time. And also this man of God, he did everything according to the word of the Lord. There is only one desire in our heart, that we do everything according to the Holy Scriptures. We go back to the word of the Lord, to the word of prophecy, to the promises for this time. And with that, we come back to the word with which we started. The Lord Jesus gave the promise, "I go to prepare a place for you." For whom did he prepare it? For those who have believed his promise with all their heart and soul. And then we'll no longer need to build tabernacles. Then everything is prepared for us. The Lord has gone before us to prepare the place, and he will return. What will it be when all those who have believed the Lord and his word are gathered together and enter the pearly gates as victors? What singing will it be when it says already here, there was very great joy among them? What will it be then? Who will describe it? What tongue will express it? What it will be? May God give us grace to believe him, to be surrounded by his glory, to go to find as he promised. Those who went out of Babylon, they found everything as it was promised to them. And also for us who live in these last times, we have found everything as God has proclaimed it through the mouth of his servants, through the prophets and apostles. And when we consider that many prophecies are far more than 2,000 years old, and that God is now fulfilling them in our time, and that we can see that God has watched over everything, and is also watching over us in this time. For from the first promise, in Genesis 3, verse 15, people waited for the seed of the woman to come to crush the serpent's head, to make free, to give us eternal life. And all who believed his promises saw it and kept his word in their hearts. They were blessed with the blessing of Almighty God. All who at this time believed the word revealed by God, they will ponder on it, keep it, and they will no longer remain in darkness, but will have the light of life. They will be surrounded by the glory of God. Why? Because they have believed the promise and the announcement that God has given. The shepherds found everything as they were told. We too have found everything at this time as God has foretold. May He bless us and give a deep and intimate joy in our hearts. He is on the throne. He watches over His word to fulfill it. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You with all our hearts for Thy grace and faithfulness You have had with Your own since the beginning of time. You have enlightened them by Your Spirit. You have spoken to them at the right time. You have guided them along paths which You Yourself had prepared so that they could see the fulfillment of the Scriptures in their own time. Eternally gracious God, may a bright light shine on many even in this time. But it only comes on where the supernatural announcement of what should happen according to Your word happens. Faithful Lord, it is our desire, continue to lead us in Your light. Be gracious to us. For Your holy name's sake, we praise You and worship You. Hallelujah. Amen.